Welcome to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2pm, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
That's right, you're tuned into the R1 News at 1. I'm one of your hosts today and your news producer, Jemima Lorimer, and I'm also joined in the booth by Yana Gleeson. We have the bulletin coming up for you very, very soon. I'm also going to take over Amy Martin's What's the Hap segment just for today to send you off for your mid-semester break. But first up for you, this is Aidan Fine with Something New.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
Kia ora, this is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 30th of August. I'm Yana.
I'm Jemima. In national news, Māori King Tuheitia passed away yesterday afternoon surrounded by family. He was 69 years old. Last week he attended Koronehana, commemorating the 18th year since his coronation. In a statement, the Office of Kingitanga said King Tuheitia had been in hospital recovering from heart surgery. The statement also says, "The death of Kingi Tuheitia is a moment of great sadness for followers of Te Kingitanga, Māoridom, and the entire nation." Tuheitia is expected to lie in state at Turangawaewae Marae for 5 days before taking his final resting place on Taupiri Mountain. Speaking to RNZ, Kingitanga Chief of Staff Ngira Simmons said a successor will be decided by a group of leaders within the Kingitanga movement in the days ahead. The Paralympic Games opening ceremony occurred in Paris on Thursday morning, and New Zealand's team was led by Dunedin's Anna Grimaldi. This is Grimaldi's third Paralympics competing in long jump, and she stated that this was a pinch-me moment. More than 160 countries are in Paris for the Paralympics, and there are 25 athletes from New Zealand, so tune in and cheer them on.
In international news, the harrowing reality for the lives of women in Afghanistan has reached new extremes following a recently introduced law by the Taliban banning women from speaking or showing any parts of their bodies in public. Described by the United Nations as a distressing vision for the future of the country, the Taliban have since rejected any concerns or contestations from the UN, with the main spokesperson for the Taliban's government claiming arrogance from those who oppose the new law. Irrefutably asserted by the Afghanistan's Taliban rulers, beginning on the 28th of August of this year, requirements state that a woman must conceal her body and face, leaving only room for vision, and be prohibited from using her voice outside of the home. Being threatened or jailed for being late to prayer, glancing at a member of the opposite sex outside of your family, and possessing photographs of loved ones are among the array of inhumane rulings that preside over the Afghan people. This new regulation for women will be the country's first set of laws that are said to discourage vice and promote virtue. Zabihullah Mujahid, the spokesperson of the group, issued a statement to those who may express objections and spoke towards particularly non-Muslims who are not accustomed with Islamic laws. He said, "We urge a thorough understanding of these laws and a respectful acknowledgement of Islamic values. To reject these laws without such understanding is, in our view, an expression of arrogance," as reported by the ABC News. UN Human Rights Chief Officer Volker Turk continues to urge the Taliban to repeal the egregious laws and furthers his position by saying that the passing of such laws is completely erasing a woman's presence in public, depriving them of their individual autonomy and attempting to render them into faceless, voiceless shadows. Despite a tidal wave of disdain, Mujahid responded to the statements from the Ministry of Justice and the UN, saying any concerns raised by various parties will not sway the Islamic Emirate from its commitment to upholding and enforcing Islamic Sharia law. Amid a growing global audience tuning into the Paralympic Games that started in Paris earlier this week, suspicions have begun to arise amongst the participating athletes who claim that the system, which is supposed to maintain a fair and equal competition, is actually being abused and manipulated. There is a sense that the organisations who are responsible for overseeing the Games are more focused on covering up complaints to maintain a positive image of the Paralympics, rather than ensuring fairness in the competitions. The classification system that is implemented by the Paralympics endeavours to put athletes into classes and competitions with others who have similar impairments, with each sport holding its own criteria. In the Olympics, an event such as the 100-metre sprint will only feature one class each for men and women, whereas the same event in the Paralympics will feature 16 classes for men and 13 for women to account for varying levels of disabilities. Oksana Masters, a highly decorated US Paralympian, voices her frustration over the public's perception of the Paralympics as merely an inspirational performance rather than a highly competitive tournament between hard-working athletes. She has stated that this perception is contributing and encouraging a reluctance from governing bodies, like the International Paralympic Committee, to address issues surrounding classification doping, where athletes may be misrepresenting the severity of their disabilities to gain a competitive advantage. Athletes across various Paralympic sports have raised alarms about the lack of effective methods to challenge unfair classifications. This reality has led to protests and public outcry, much like the demonstration that hand cyclist Charles Moreau and 50 other cyclists displayed 30 minutes into their race when they stopped to protest the system that enables cheating at the Paralympic Games. Despite the increased visibility that the Paralympics is receiving from audiences, these concerns persist, and athletes like Moreau are emphasising the need for a more robust and fair system to ensure the integrity of a competition between skilled and deserving athletes.
A shocking video is currently circulating on social media of two men dancing on top of a dead whale carcass. The video was posted to the platform X, formerly Twitter. The two individuals are seen jumping onto the massive whale's lifeless body and dancing and laughing as they perform stunts on the carcass. Wildlife advocates and animal lovers have expressed their disapproval, highlighting the lack of sensitivity towards the majestic creature. The controversial video has prompted calls for action against the two men, with some demanding legal consequences. The behaviour has stirred a wave of anger across the internet, with many calling it disrespectful and harmful to wildlife conservation efforts.
In Ote Poti news, University of Otago researchers are saying that ecstasy users could ease up on the use of alcohol and still have just as much fun. The study explored people's use of MDMA in New Zealand and the concerning trend of people choosing to consume high levels of alcohol whilst taking the drug. More than 1,100 people completed or partially completed the online survey. The results from the study showed a significant number of people were mixing MDMA with large amounts of alcohol. PhD student Jai Whelan said that reducing drinking when taking MDMA is unlikely to make it less fun and is likely to reduce your risk of harm while you save money. About 44% of people consumed 6 standard drinks or less. About 31.5% consumed 10 or more standards. Otago accounts for the highest use of MDMA in New Zealand and exceeds the national average by almost double. Whelan would encourage people to be mindful about drinking large amounts of alcohol on top of MDMA and whether it is necessary for a good time.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 30th of August. Today's bulletin was written by Yana Gleeson, Amy Martin and Jemima Lorimer, and read to you by Yana Gleeson and Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
We'll be back in just a moment with your weather forecast as well as what's the haps for this weekend. But first up, this is Lawrence Arabia with his parents' Jeep.
R1 News at 1 with a forecast.
I am back with the weather forecast for today. It is, of course, a really sunny, beautiful day. It just continues to be so nice and sunny, and it just seems like it's boding really well for a beautiful start to spring, which starts on Sunday. How exciting. The temperature right now is 15.8 degrees, apparently, that accurately, and the high is 16. So this is like the best we're going to get for the day. The clouds are kind of coming back, but I still think it's really good vibes. And looking ahead, tomorrow it's going to be super, super similar to this, but we're going to reach 17 degrees. So make sure you get out into the sun, I don't know, go to the boat hands, go for a walk along the harbour, go to the farmer's market, that's like my favourite Saturday activity, walking to the farmer's market in the sun, and just really enjoy it. What a beautiful start to spring and mid-semester break. That has been your news producer, Jemima, with the weather forecast for today.
The R1 News at 1 with a forecast.
Make sure you stay tuned because I'll be back very, very soon with What's the Haps, taking over Amy Martin's wee segment for the day to let you know what you can get along to for the weekend. But first up, This Is Mine with Kill Me, and then we'll have Jupiter Project and Mac Milo with Burn. Welcome back to the R1 News at 1. That was Office Dog with their new song, Intact. It just came out today, and they just announced that they're releasing a 7-track EP called Doggerland. It was a big surprise. I'm a huge Office Dog fan. So I guess a little bit of music news in with your news show for today. But now I have What's the Haps, usually with Amy Martin, but I'm taking it over for today.
Do you have no friends and no plans? Need something to fill your empty calendar? Find our upcoming events across Aotearoa Dunedin in the What's the Haps with Amy Martin, only on the R1 News at 1.
That's right, I'm taking over, and I've handpicked some very special and wholesome events for you to start your holiday if you're sticking around Aotearoa for the mid-semester break. Tomorrow night at the Crown, there is a UNRWA Palestine support fundraiser gig called The Resistance. It features so many legendary Aotearoa bands such as Ivy, Vagina Dry, Ekare, Crime Hospital, Hysteria, and so much more. There'll also be speeches throughout the night as well. Tickets are $25 waged and $15 unwaged. And you can also learn more about the fundraiser gig with our Brecky boy Zach Hoffman, who chatted to Hysteria's Feely Gilmore and D Street's band Richard Jackson, both bands performing on the night, on the breakfast show yesterday. So if you head to Radio 191 FM's podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find them there. They're the very latest interviews as of now, so better head there soon. Keeping on that musical trend, there are also two AMPT showcases this weekend. AMPT is a music mentorship program for high school age students put together by the Dunedin Fringe Arts Trust team. Very, very wonderful people. And AMPT allows these high school students to workshop, record, and put on performances alongside and under the direction of some very talented and established Aotearoa creatives. You can support these young musicians at Te Whare Orukutia on Saturday and Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5pm. It's free entry for under 18s and koha entry for adults. Saturday's show features musical guests Ghost Coloured Faces and Sunday's The Lovely Violet Hurst. On Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, you can also catch Patty with a Y, a play about adulting as a third culture kid. It's at the new Anthenium Theatre on Saturday 6pm and Sunday 2pm. Developed for the 2023 Aotearoa's Theatre Lab Playwrights Programme, Patty with a Y is a semi-autobiographical monologue written and performed by Patty Clinpeeble, a third culture kid born in Thailand, raised in Malaysia and Egypt, and now Dunedin-based. Patty is now in her 20s and revisits the people and places she's supposed to call home. That wraps up the R1 News for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy a beautiful start to your mid-semester break. It's just such a good day to get out, or maybe even just head out of town and listen to some really beautiful music, especially if you stay tuned listening to the R1 News. As you know, today's hosts were your news producer Jemima Lorimer and Yana Gleason. Amy Martin was unfortunately away today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and make sure you stay tuned to Radio 1 to keep hearing those beautiful tunes. After this, we'll have Violet Hurst with Dissolve Like Salt. Keep it locked.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily, wherever you get your podcasts. or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
Thanks for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There are heaps more at r1.co.nz.